From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Recently, Dr. Alan Cairns began a study of a subject which should be very close to the heart of everyone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the matter of prayer. The present message is called Closet Prayer, based on the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." While warning God's people against praying like the hypocrites, to be seen of men, the Lord Jesus here takes it for granted that His people pray. Although prayer can be undertaken at any time and in any place, Christ here emphasizes the necessity of getting alone with God, that is, having a stated time and place for serious prayer, away from distractions. First of all, however, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, Muslim no-go areas.
Last April, Britain's only Pakistani-born bishop, Dr. Michael Nazir Ali, Bishop of Rochester, issued a warning that some areas of England were becoming no-go areas, too dangerous for non-Muslims to enter. That didn't go down very well with the politically correct crowd of social activists who now control the Church of England. Nazir Ali was roundly criticized by his ecclesiastical leaders, but he was right. There seems to be a mentality in many places in church and state that if we simply ignore unpleasant situations, they will somehow disappear. They won't. They'll simply get worse. A couple of Americans who were doing evangelistic outreach in the city of Birmingham, England, recently discovered that Nazir Ali's warning was all too true, and that even if the local Muslim population did not rise up to attack them, some small-time official would make sure to escalate the situation. I should explain that in parts of Britain with a concentration of an ethnic or religious minority, the local police will enlist what are called Police Community Support Officers, PCSOs. A PCSO has no authority to arrest anyone without the presence of a regular police officer. His job is to reduce tensions between local communities and the police. As the two Americans were talking to a number of youths in an area with a heavy Muslim population, they were accosted by a PCSO who started to question and to harass them. He asked them their names and addresses, which they refused to give, as he lacked the right to demand such information. On learning that they were from America, he launched into a violent denunciation of President Bush's Iraq policy. No matter how much the Americans tried to explain that they had no interest in discussing such matters and were there only to share with the people the good news of the gospel, the PCSO remained belligerent and told them that they had no right to be there in that Muslim quarter. He went further and said, "You have been warned. If you come back here and get beaten up, well, you've been warned." The local police said that they had investigated the matter and that the PSO concerned had received what they called corrective training. That's not very reassuring. You may be certain that if a regular police officer had met a Muslim in another part of town and told him that he had no right to be there, that officer would have been dismissed at once. However, when a Muslim employed to support the police tells Christians that they have no right to be in his area, he receives corrective training, which is just a nice way of saying he has been allowed to continue on the job, despite the fact that his actions proved that he was a bigger bigot and threat than the Muslim youths who were engaged in conversation with the Americans who were trying to tell them of Christ. This is a serious situation. Not only are we seeing an erosion of freedom of speech, especially for Christians, but we're fast approaching the stage where here in the West, it will be illegal for Christians to evangelize non-Christians. It used to be that it was under communism that such restrictions were imposed, but more and more, it is coming to be the case in the West. The truth is that many politicians and churchmen would be glad to make the public square a no-go area for the gospel. We must resist all such efforts in the assurance that whatever men may say or do, the Word of God is not bound.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Jesus takes it for granted as people pray. And he establishes private prayer as an essential part of the Christian life. And he further establishes that Christians may pray anywhere. He says, enter into your closet. The word closet in another place is translated as a storeroom. It may refer simply to an inner chamber or indeed any private room. And by extension, it means really any place on earth that you can get alone with God. There are certain denominations that have adopted the practice and they put up a little notice that this church building will be open all day for those who want to come in and pray. Now, let me say immediately that I have no objection if people cannot get any place at home or wherever else to get alone with God. I have no objection to them using the quietness of the church building. In fact, I would say that would be a very wise thing to do. But the idea that somehow there's something lacking in prayer, unless it's within the consecrated environs, is altogether wrong. I was reading of a woman whose family was in deadly danger. They were lost at sea. And as she heard that their plane had gone down and they were bobbing around in the Atlantic Ocean, and 3 days had gone by and they had not been found, she felt she needed to pray. And so she prayed and she prayed. But then she ran to the church and she said to the preacher, she said, "Preacher, I have been praying, but somehow or other, it's just not enough to pray at home. I've got to pray here." And that's the point at which we proceed from Christianity to superstition. For Christians don't need a holy building. They can pray anywhere. And yet, we must have a place that is conducive to getting alone with God. For the Lord Jesus, that was often a mountain retreat. Matthew 14 tells us he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Luke 6 and 12 tells us again he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So at times his closet was a mountainside. At other times his closet was a garden like Gethsemane. Judas knew that Jesus often resorted to the garden to pray. Why? Because it was a conducive place to be alone with God. Now, for most of us, that means it's going to be a stated place. You look at your home. You can pray anywhere in that home, whether it's the kitchen or the bedroom or the garage. You'll notice I even pronounce that as an American does. The compromises one makes when one is on the foreign mission field. You can pray in any of those places. But normally it is wise to have a stated closet in which to pray. A place where you can go. A place that is your place alone with God. Jesus went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And isn't it good sense? When you've got a good place that is conducive to private prayer, use it. Now, having made these points simply and clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ proceeds to give us three distinct instructions. These are the things that have been in my head constantly since last we were looking at this passage of Scripture. He says, enter into thy closet, shut the door, and pray to your Father. And these are three actions that are essential to true communion with God. And I want us to consider them today. as we think of closet praying. First of all, he says, enter into thy closet. And what he's saying is, to get alone with God, we must get away from all that would hinder or distract us. To get alone with God, we must get away from all that would hinder or distract us. And therefore the Savior says, enter. And the idea is, enter alone into thy closet. This is an act of deliberate withdrawal. Indeed, it is an act of physical separation. It is physically putting a distance between us and all our surroundings. As I've noted, the closet is any private room, any place you can be alone with God. And this is our need. Christian, this is the urgent need that you have in your life and I have in mine. It doesn't matter what your earthly occupation is. You need to have a time when you can be alone with God and the place you can be alone with God. It must therefore be your aim to have such a place, and it certainly is Christ's command. Now, to get alone with the Lord, naturally, He commands us to separate ourselves physically from the surroundings we share with others. Enter into your closet. Here we get away from people. In the context, isn't it clear that people are often our greatest hindrance? For example, they attract our attention. So we need to get away. They attract our attention, and that's always a temptation. It's when we are most aware of other people that we are most likely to pray like hypocrites, more to men than to the Lord. Not only do they attract our attention, they distract our attention. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, enter into your closet. Here you get away from people. Here also we get away from the world. That workaday world that every one of us has to live in. The world is imperious in its demands upon us. Its work. Its wealth. Its worries. These are the things that, like a great octopus, just twine around our thoughts. Demand our attention. Jesus says, enter into your closet. We get away from the world. We get away from our other employments, however legitimate they may be. When we enter the closet, what we do is we stop the daily flow of life in order to have a specific time of communion with the Lord. We remember Martha, that she was cumbered with much serving. While Mary chose the better part and sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, we can all sympathize with Martha. There's not a mother in this service this morning that doesn't know exactly how Martha felt. You know the old saying that a woman's work is never done. I think that actually came about because they thought of working on their husbands. And they know in that respect it's never done. But they are busy. Now I'm going to be very down to earth and practical here. Some of you men go out early in the morning and you work hard all day and you come back home at night. You're tired. You're weary. That's understandable. And so you flop down into your chair and you get a book or watch the television. Though if you do that every night, you're backslidden. As far as you can be backslidden, if that's what you're doing night by night. But you flop down into the chair. Don't bother me too much. Don't even talk to me too much. Because I've worked hard all day. And I'm tired. Poor little you. What do you think your wife has been doing all day? Oh, she had to be up early too, probably to get you your breakfast. Just one, two, three, or four, and I'll not go any further. Little children, all crying for attention at the one time. And the day just is eaten up. The constant round of serving. Until even with all the love of a mother's heart, that serving becomes an encumbrance. And I have had many young women, many young mothers and wives say to me, how do I get time alone to pray? If there is a half hour in the day when the children want to sleep, I'm so exhausted I sleep along with them. What do I do? Well, the first thing you do, my dear, is you pray that God will give your husband a spoonful of wit. That's what you pray. And you husbands will recognize that if your wife is to be that wise woman who builds her home and not the foolish one who tears it down with her hands, the best thing you can do for her is not a new mink coat. The best thing you can do for her is to take the pressure off, assume the responsibilities of that home. After all, it's your home and you're the head of that home. And give her the time to go and get alone with God. It's very easy to say Martha was foolish to be cumbered about with much serving. She was. But there's many a time when Martha's not given a chance to do anything else. We need to get away from our other employments to get alone with the Lord, to set aside every distraction. For in order to run the race of prayer, we must lay aside every weight. To exercise a ministry of prevailing prayer, we must get alone with God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.